Hi, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response to Midday for the 16th day of Adar Sheni. And today we're going to talk about the shoot of Rabbi Omer Vad Yosef in Rabbi Omer Chilek Chet, the 8th volume, the Choshen Mishpat section, Simon Hay. Dated the 16th day of Adar Bet of Tuf Shin Lamed Gimel of 1973. And the topic at hand is, in Choshen Mishpat, Simon Reish Nun Gimel, in Chapter 253, paragraph 24, Chosh Mishpat, the Shechonach writes, Shchiv Mirash Amar Nechasai Lifloni Ulevanav, that if a man says, now Shchiv Mirash is a person who's on his deathbed, there's a whole special halacha about that he's able to divide up all his property without doing acts, legal acts of acquisition, because of the fact that he is a Dinder Rabban, it's a rabbinic rule, because of the fact that he's on his deathbed and Chazal wanted to make his life easier, he could just announce where he wanted his possessions to go. So that's why it's significant that it's a shkimmer. But now we have to know what he meant. So he says, I want all my property to be divided up between so-and-so and his sons. Halacha is that the so-and-so gets half the property, and the sons divide the other half. And that's because the assumption is, if he say, I want my things to go to this and this, that's two halves of a statement. So half goes to the first part, that's the ploni, the so-and-so. And the other half, of course, the other part is the banav. So too, later on in Shulchan Aruch, there's a similar halacha. And the Gemara that it comes from is where Braita says, Rebbe says, based on a pasuk, Rebbe says, V'haytal v'aron u'levanav, that certain parts, certain gifts of the matanot kuna go l'aron u'vanav. They go to Aaron and his sons, and the Gemara says, Mechzal aaron u'mechzal v'anav. Half goes to Aaron, half goes to banav. Now, it's important to remember that the halacha that he just said is a shkivmera. What a shkivmera says, what a person is on his deathbed says, and we're guiding our understanding of that by what the Gemara understood from the pasuk means about l'aron u'levanav. That's going to become, I think, significant by the end of the tshuva. So I want to point it out here. You know, I'm reminded of Chekhov's line, Chekhov's comment about when you're writing a play, if there's a gun on stage in the first act, he says it has to go off by the third act. So I am telling you explicitly that I think this is something that will go off by the third act. I looked it up. The pasuk is about the lechem hapanim, the 12 loaves of bread that were switched every Friday, every Shabbos, sorry. They were switched. So those were l'aron u'levanav. Half goes to Aaron, half goes to Banav. And the Chidushe Gershuni, the Chidushe Gershuni is a sefer written by a Rabbi Gershon Ashkenazi, who was the Rav of Vienna in the 17th century. He lived from 1615 to 1693, so in the late 17th century, he was the Rav of Vienna, and he wrote this book that was well known as Chidushe Gershuni. So he brings up the question of, let's say a man says, give 200 dinar to the sons of Shimon. Does he mean 200 dinar to each of the sons of Shimon, or does he mean 200 to all of them together? Now, the Chidushe Gershuni related that to a Tosfot and Chagiga, a completely different question. So I want to make clear, I'm sorry, right? I should say this. We're only 3 minutes in, so it's not up front, that this is a tshuva that's about various circumstances where there's language used and we don't know how to divide it up. Meaning, if I say, V'haytel Aaron al-Manav, if I say that Lechem Panim should go to Aaron and his sons, then to me, the most natural or simplest way to have understood that would have been, Aaron and his sons will divide it up. Why do we refer to them as his sons? Because there's no reason to single out Nadav and Avihu and Elazar and Itamar and say the names. So I just say Aaron and his sons. That's what I would have thought. That would have meant, I'm clearly not correct because the Gemara understands it differently, but that would have meant that Aaron and his sons all divided up together. When the Gemara says that no, half goes to Aaron and half goes to his sons, that's introducing a new picture here, and it's saying that if a person singles out, if a person sets up, like I said before, so we're now in this tshuva going to go through lots of other permutations of that. We already had one. The Shkiv Mira says, send all my money to so-and-so and his sons. So there, the halacha is same thing as the pasuk. Now there's the exact same phrasing, and that could be why the pasukim in the Torah will be seen as relevant to what a person says, whereas later on we're going to question that assumption, whether or not we relate Torah issues in terms of language to necessarily how people use language. But in that particular instance, Shulchan Aruch is very clear that we assume that it follows the same model as we have in the Torah, that it means half to ploni and half to the children, like it was with the pasuk in the Torah. So now we're going to go through a bunch of other examples. So the example that we have right now is the Kedusha Gershuni raised was Reuven says, give 200 zuz to just the sons. So now the question isn't whether it's half and half. The question is, what do I mean by 200 zuz? Do I mean 200 zuz to each of the sons? Or do I mean 200 zuz to the sons? So obviously you could say, well, he didn't say each of the sons, he said the sons. But that's the question. So the Kedusha, the Kedusha Agir Shuni points out there's a Tosfot in Chagiga about another issue. The Yerushalmi quotes of Rav Yochanan asks the following question: if a person is deaf in one ear, are they obligated to go to Hakel? Because the puzzle about Hakel, remember, Hakel is a spare ceremony the Torah establishes, requires that every 7 years after the Shemitah, the Jewish people should come together in the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash or near the Beit HaMikdash, and the king will read the Torah to them. It will be an opportunity for the entire nation to together hear and experience Torah and remind themselves that Torah is central to the Jewish people. So the pasuk there says, Neged Kol Yisrael Be'oz Nehem. It should be opposite. He'll read the Torah opposite the Jewish people, Be'oz Nehem, in their ears. So the question now is, so do they need to have 2 ears? Because in their ears could mean in the ears of the Jewish people. And the fact that one particular Jew only has one ear, it doesn't matter. Even if all the Jews only had one ear that worked, it could still be in their ears because there are many, many of them. Or it could mean in each of their ears. So Amar Rav Yossi ben Barbun, the Yerushalmi says, that it's a debate between Rav Yossi and Rav Rabbanan. Rav Yossi held. Now, it's not about their, the original debate wasn't about the Hakel situation. So these are another, we're piling up circumstances, right? We've had Shkev Mirah giving out money. We've had Aaron and his children separating or splitting up, dividing up lechem upon him. We've had a person who wants to give a gift, not a Shkev Mirah gift, just a regular gift to the sons of. What does that mean? So the sons of the Kedusha Kedushin is now going to try to relate it to this question. There's a Tosfot that points out that our circumstance was a person who's deaf in one ear in terms of Hakel. So the Gemara in Yerushalmi relates that to a different debate. Rav Yossi and Rabbanan had debated about the following question. The pasuk says, "Livnei Aaron ta'aseh kutanot." He should make shirts or tunics for the children. That's one of the garments that the priests, the Kohanim, wear. But kutanot is a plural word. So does it mean, Rabbanan amrei shtei kutanot l'kol echad, each one of them should have two kutanot? He says, no, even if you only had one kutanot for each of them, that would still be kutanot, because it's plural, because among all of them, they have kutanot. So the Chidush HaGirshuni, sorry, Tosfos is saying, Hachanami, Rabbanan amrei neged kol yisrael be'oz nehem. The Rabbanan would seem to hold that when you say be'oz nehem, oz nehem should mean 2 ears for each Jew. As opposed to Rabbi Yossi would say 1 ear for each Jew, because he holds it's one kutonet for each coin. And the fact that it's referred to in the plural, because among all of them you have kutonot. So that's the Tosfot. And that's the Yichudu Shegushini site. So he seems to be saying, this is what now I'm back, Rav Yosef says, Venire Kavanat Arab. It seems that the Chidush HaGirshuni, he understands the Chidush HaGirshuni to mean that a man says, I want you to give 200 zuz to the sons of Shimon, it would probably mean 200 to each one, because Chazal said, Oznehem meant 2 ears for each one. We assumed from that, the kutanot meant 2 kutanot for each one. No, I'm sorry, right. Certainly meant 2 kutanot for each one. From there, we assumed they meant 2 ears for each one. They have to have 2 working years to be obligated to come here, Hakel. And therefore, that would seem to mean that whenever you talk on the plural, it means plural for each member of the group. Whereas the Rabbi Yossi, Daim Matayim Ben Kulam. Whereas Rabbi Yossi would say, no, it's 200 to the whole group, and that's the way you would understand it. So Rabbi Yosef says, well, that's not quite so simple, because there's a Gemara in Megillah that gives another example of a similar situation and takes it in a slightly different way. The Gemara in Megillah on Zion and Aleph says, Tanya of Yosef, Pazik in the Megillah says, Umishloach manot ish l're'ehu, you send manot to your friend. So Rav Yosef says, Shtei manot l'ish echad. There's 2 gifts, 2 pieces of food in each, to each friend that you're sending to. Mishloach manot ish l're'ehu. So it sounds like manot is for each one. That's plural for each. That's okay so far. But then matanot levyonim, Pazik says you give gifts to the poor. Shtei matanot lishnei b'nei adam. You give 2 gifts to 2 different people. So that sounds, and Rashi says, that's 1 gift per person. But why would that be? So that seems to say there's no ironclad rule on this issue. When it says, Mishloach manot ish l're'ehu, we say, oh, that's 2 manot to each person. Whereas matanot levyonim, we say, oh, that means a gift per evyon, but there's just a lot of evyonim, or at least 2 evyonim, and that'll be why it's plural. The cost of it. So the Pri Chadash writes on that issue, on that discussion in the Gemara, maybe it should be 2 matanot to each evyon. You should give 2 gifts to each poor person. Matanot levyonim, and it should be like we said by mishloach manot and by all of the other things that we've said till now, kutanot and oznehem and all that. So he says no, because there's a Gemara in Yoma that has another idea. When it comes to choosing which of the goats will be offered in the Beit HaMikdash and Yom Kippurim, and which will be thrown off the mountain, will go to Azazel, be thrown off the mountain. So the Pasuk says, Aaron will put Al Shnei HaSeirim Goralot. He'll put lots on the 2 Seirim. So the Gemara says, Yachal Yitin Shnayim Al Zeh. Maybe lots on the Siri means two lots on each. Because again, the question is, when you have a plural item being applied to a plural group, to a group with many members in it, do all of the items have to go to each member of the group? Or is it plural because it's because some of the items are going to each member of the group? So there the Gemara says, Yachal Yitin Shnayim Al Zeh, Shnayim Al Zeh. Maybe you think you have to give two Goralutim Al Amar. Goral echad l'Hashem v'goral echad l'Azazel. The pasuk continues to say it's one goral, one lot on the sheep, on the goat that's to go to Azazel, and one lot on the goat that's going to stay in the Beit HaMikdash. So, but it sounds like without the express addition of that part of the pasuk, I would have thought you have to put two lots on each goat. So it sounds like our general principle is that when you have a plural word you being applied to a group, it generally means that each of the members of the group gets all of the plurality of those things. So Rav Yosef suggests that had it written in the pasuk v'la'avyonim matanot, if it had said to the poor gives gifts, then it would have meant two gifts to each poor person, like with the seirim, like with the goats, right? Where it would have meant put two lots in each. But when it says matanot la'avyonim, so then it sounds it's two matanot total. That's what he's suggesting now. But then it says you have to again give them out. But it's two matanot. He gives another example of this in the Gemara in Tanit, which says the Gemara says upera lo yishalech. When it's talking about a nazir, it says upera lo yishalech. They can't grow their hair too long. Maybe they can't quote it at all. He says, no, if it's a lo yishalchu pera, they can't send out their wild hair. I think it's a kohanim, actually. I'm sorry. So that would mean that. But now it says upera lo yishalechu. It means they can have a pera. They can have a grown hair. They just can't have it too much, and therefore they can grow it for 30 days. But within 30 days, they have to get haircuts. So in that line of reasoning now, so let's just pause to review and to make sure we've seen all the examples. Remember all the examples. When we said a man says, a shkimira says, nechasai leploni ulevanav, so that was very similar to vaital aron ulevanav. So there we say when you single out a member of the group and then include the rest of the group, it means half goes to the person who's singled out and half goes to the rest of the group. So that's not our particular question. The new question was, you're giving something to all the members of a group. 200 tzuz to the sons of Shimon. You haven't singled out the sons of Shimon, but is it 200 to each one or 200 tzachakol, 200 total? That was related by the Chidushia Gershuni to a Tosfot. The Tosfot had related to the issue of whether or not somebody who's deaf in one ear is obligated in Hakel, because the book says, the naked Kol Yisrael be'oznehem. So again, the oznehem comes after Kol Yisrael, so that's going to be relevant to the later part of the Tshuva. But it seems like that's a debate between Rabbanan and Rav Yossi, based on the fact that when it says you give to Vinatot Levinei Aron, Taseh Kutanot, so again it comes after, and it sounds like the Kutanot, that's the debate between Rav Yossi and Rabbanan, think it's two kanot, two tunics for each person, and Rav Yossi thinks it's one tunic per person, and the reason why it's plural is because there are a lot of Bnei Aron. According to that, Bnei Gineshuti seems to think that this would be that issue as well. That according to Rabbanan, you'd have to give 200 to each one. It seems to be that way. That's what he's assuming. Rabbi Yosef is going to bring in a new issue, and that's where we're getting to, because he's going to point out the placement of the word might matter. So, but the Kedusha Gershuni seems to be saying that Rabbanan would hold, you have to give 200 to each one, because you said 200 to the group, it was Rabbi Yosef, and the way they understood Kutanot and Oznaim and ears in terms of Hakel, and Rabbi Yosef would say, no, it's 200 for each one. Now is where Rav Yosef came in to say, but you're not noticing that the placement seems to matter, because the Gemara Megillah had said, when it comes to Mishloach Manot Ish L'Re'ehu, we say it's two to each one, because Manot comes before the Re'ehu, we say two to each one, but Matanot La'Evyonim, sorry, the other reason is not the place of the word, there is because it says Ish L'Re'ehu, the only possibility is to say Matanot to a friend, because it only mentions a friend. When it comes to Matanot La'Evyonim, gifts to the poor, plural, yeah, it could have said it was two matanot to each poor person, and we end up saying, no, we think it's one gift to each poor person, it's plural only because it's to a group, but that seems to go against everything we've been saying until now. We've been saying until now, it's Machlok, Rabbanan, Rabbi Yossi, about that question. The Rabbanan would have held that you have to give two matanot to each person, so the Prichada says, that's because there's another Gemara that sheds new light on this. The Gemara that sheds new light on this is the question of the Seirim, the goat that gets sent out to Azazel, and have lots, so there, the pasuk makes explicit that it's one for each, which again sounds like it should be two for each other than the pasuk. But there, the suggestion is that that's because it came after. So the, had it said, la'evyonim matanot, that would have meant two to each poor person. La'evyonim matanot. But now that it says matanot la'evyonim, because it said, you put on the goats lots, but gifts to the Evyonim, and now, kutanot. What about, but it said you make for Aaron and his sons kutanot, so that should have been two kutanot of each, and that's the machloka, that's the opinion of Rabbanan. And then it says, you give them out to the poor. Because it says matanot le'evyonim, you make the gift and then you give it to the poor, as opposed to you have Aaron Avanav and you make them kudanot. Okay, so that would be two gifts total to two different people, and that would be an example of upera lo yishalechu. You have a pera, you just shouldn't grow it too much, as we saw in the Gemara in Tani. And this is a pasuk. That pasuk is a pasuk from Yechezkel, chapter 44, where Yechezkel is talking about the future Beit HaMikdash, and he says roshalim yikalechu, they won't shave their heads, upera lo yishalechu, but they also won't grow their hair too long. But it sounds like they'll have hair, a pera, that they won't grow too long. So according to that reason, if you say 200 zuz for the children of Shimon, it's like matanot levyonim. Matanot levyonim, what we said was, the rule was that it's 200 total, right? Because it would be two gifts total to the levyonim, so 200 total to the children of Shimon. And it's not similar to the Bnei Aaron, because Bnei Aaron, it says, Bnei Aaron get kutanot. The thing that's being given came after the name of the group. Once it's after the name of the group, the haloktiv hatam kutanot, hakutanot tasel Bnei Aaron, if it said make kutanot for the children of Aaron, then he's saying it would have been clear that it's make the kutanot and then divide them. But once you put the kutanot later, it's for Aaron and his sons, you're going to make, whatever you're going to make is going to apply to each of Aaron and his sons. Right. Okay, as we've said, in terms of, now what about a cherish, the deaf person in one ear? So we rule like Rabbanan that hold that you need to have two ears available because of that Gemara and Chagiga and all these things. We have a Gemara that says that explicitly. So to the Rambam, passing that way. So you see that this seems to be the rule that we are making. The rule that we seem to be making is that depending on the placement of the word in the sentence, that'll tell you whether it's for each, it's to be distributed total through the each, or like matanot le'evyonim, or whether it's going to be for each one, like le'aron ta'asek kutanot. Another example that comes up, the Ravad Yosef brings up is, well, you might think that that's a problem because it's a Yerushalmi in Shkalim, which obviously we each of us knew and were already thinking about and wondering how Ravad Yosef was going to deal with it. The Yerushalmi in Shkalim says about, there's a pasuk in Devarim that says that Hashem, speaking about Hashem, about the experience of Matan Torah, the experience of giving the Torah, that says that Hashem spoke in front of you and told you his covenant, and then refers to Aseret HaDevarim. So the Yerushalmi says that there's a debate as to whether, how it was, the 10, and it says Al Shnei Luchot, on two tablets. So how did that work? One opinion in the Yerushalmi is the one that we see in the movies, which is five commandments on each one of the two tablets. There are two tablets. But Rabbanan say 10 on each tablet. So why should it be 10 on each tablet? Isn't it like matanot le'evyonim, gifts to the poor, devarim, where, you know, pronouncements of Hashem to the tablet? So if it's aseret devarim, al shnei luchot, just like we say you give all the matanot and divide up by the le'evyonim, why shouldn't it also be true that the 10 devarim were split up among the luchot? Whereas Rabbanan seems to say, no, it's 10 for each one. So he says, no, he thinks here that would be different. The reason why Rabbanan hold that way is because there's another pasuk regarding the Aseret Dibrot in the 10th chapter of Devarim. And in the 10th chapter of Devarim, it says, V'yichtov ha-luchot et Aseret Dibrim. So once the luchot go first, then all of a sudden it could be each luach gets the Aseret Dibrim, because then it's more like writing la'avyonim matanot, that each avyon is going to get the matanot, and therefore you could assume that 10 on each luach. So now he's going to test it out on a couple of more examples of these kinds of questions. Because if you look at the Tosfos in Yevamos, on Kuf Aleph Amid Bet, Rabbi Natam says that if somebody is blind in one eye, he can still do a chalitza, even though the chalitza is required by the Torah to be le'enei hazikenim, in the eyes of the elders of the court. So Which way does that go? It's the Einayim, but it goes, all the Einayim have to just be among the elders. So as long as there are plural eyes among the elders, it should be okay. And therefore, assuming one eye, a person who's blind in one eye, should be able to be a judge on the, to watch, to be sit in front of the chalitza. The Yom Shel Shlomo there says that the Rav Yah thought that of Suma Bein Achat, that a person is blind in one eye, should be pasul. And Maram Mintz also seems to have thought it was possible, and he derived it from Leinei Hazikini. But Shub Samim Rosh quotes Matal Avyonim, and the discussion goes on a little bit. Rav Yosef's opinion seems to very clearly be that we should not read it that way because of the placement of the words of the Pesuk. Leinei Hazikinim should mean that the eyes can be divided among the Zikinim, and therefore it should be that he's kosher. If you look at the Mechilta, on another Pesuk, the Pesuk says, Vayivin Mizbeach Tachar Ahar. This is in Yitro, just before Matan Torah, or in a redescription of Matan Torah, of the giving of the Torah. The pasuk says that Moshe built an altar at the bottom of the mountain, and he made 12 matzevot, which is another version of an altar. It's not as built up; it might be one stone, but 12 monuments of some sort, but 12 things for the 12 tribes of the Jewish people. So again, is that 12 for each tribe? So the Megillta says it's 12 for each tribe, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And Chachamim say, no, Rabbi Yehuda says it's 12 for the whole thing. It's 12 that he built, each one symbolizing a tribe, basically. And Chachamim say, no, it's 12 for every tribe. Why would it be 12 for every tribe? So the Maharin Najjar and the Sefer Shivut Yehuda says they got that from the fact that it doesn't say Lishivte Yisrael. Had it said Matzeva Asa Lishivte Yisrael, so then it would fit Rabbi Yosef's standard that since the Matzeva comes first, it's going to be divided among the tribes of Israel. If it had said Lishivte Yisrael, then we've understood it. So here, the reason why it's different, and we don't go with the order completely, is because it says, why not just say Lishivte Yisrael? So since it specified that there were 12 tribes, then you understood there was it. But it would fit the same therefore it sort of ratifies or supports Rav Yosef's claim that had it written it the other way, it would have been taken to mean 12 for them total by everybody because of that of the rule that we've been making. The Turi Evan, wrote that would seem to say that we're following the opinion of Rabbi Yossi when it comes to Matanot Levianim, but according to Rabbanan, it should be that since they had said it was Lashon of Kutanot, and that because it's multiple tunics, that's why it went to each one of the, or multiple each one. So here too, you should need two Matanot to each of you. So Turi Evan is not reading it like Rabbi Yossi was reading it, So that's the way he takes it. I mean, he seems to say that no, he doesn't notice the question of placement and nature to differentiate them, as Rav Yosef is trying to do. He says, no, it's following the opinion of Rav Yosef. You see a couple of things that follow the opinion of Rav Yosef on this issue and say that you can see it as distributed among all, rather than that, regardless of whether of how the order it goes. But the Malbim in Vayikra says, also agreed with the Turi Evan. Shoal Meshiv seems to have also thought the Turi Evan was correct. But Rav Yosef says, but that doesn't explain the Sigin Yomid about the Gorelot, about the lots on the goats, and because according to Rav Yosef, it wouldn't have needed to continue in the post, say, one Goral on each, one lot on each, because we would have known it anyway. So basically, leaves it as Tzarek Iyon, meaning he's come to understand the Sigin the way he's understood it. He's come to believe that it means that the question becomes a question of where the words are placed. That will tell you, that will guide you, that the case where Rabbanu and Yossi were arguing was where the words go in a different direction. Tori Evan doesn't seem to see it that way. He doesn't notice that distinction. He just thinks it's a general question. If I apply multiple items to multiple people, right, to multiple members of a group, how does it go? And he doesn't seem to think that the order matters that much. And there are a bunch of other Achronim who understand it that way. Rabbanu Yossi noticed that and sees it. And says Tzarechin is not sure what you would do about it because he thinks the sugya in terms of Yoma, in terms of the Goralot, and putting the lots on the goats, makes clear that unless the Pasuk had elaborated it, it would have meant one thing and not the other, and that should have been a problem for Rabbanan. That becomes somewhat of a problem because there's a Gemara in Sukkah that took the Simchat Beis HaShoeva. So the Gemara describes the Simchat Beis HaShoeva in some detail. And one piece of what happened in Simchat Beis HaShoeva was they had these huge
torches to spread a lot of light. It was very, very light. The whole simple space of Shreva, like all Yerushalayim, was lit up by these torches. So it says each of the torches had four holders of oil, and they were made of gold, and there were four ladders leading up to these four things, and four of the younger Kohanim of the Pirchei Kihuna would climb the ladders, and they were holding jugs of 120 log of shemen. So a log is about a pint. So 120 log is about 15 gallons. Right? So the Gemara then says, were there 15 gallons, 120 log in each of them? It says, and then it says, Shematilin, the whole sefer of a sefer. They're pouring into each one of the jug of the holders of oil. And the point is that when you lit them, they could then burn for a long, long time and burn very brightly. So the Gemara there, in the discussion, the next Amud says, there was this 120 log for all of them, each all four of them together, and so that each one of them only had 30 log, or each one. So Tashma v'dihem kadei shemen shal shloshim shlo. So the Nemra goes on to say, now each one was holding 30. So the hard thing is, the question is, that according to the Pri Chadash Eskiluk, the Rav Yosef is working on that placement, is what it says, then the Mishnah should have said, the kadei shemen, they had jugs of 120 log in the hands of four things, rather than the four Kohanim had 120 log in their hands, and then it would be like Matanas Levin, it would all fit well. And therefore, Rabbi Yosef says, probably you have to say, as the Gemara in Kulin says in a different context, Lashon Torah La'atzmo, the way the Torah writes things and is to be understood is one thing, and Lashon Chachamim La'atzmo, meaning the Chachamim didn't necessarily shape their phrasings of ideas in the same exact way as the Torah. Since they didn't do so, you wouldn't understand the same way. That's going to be, but that's a huge problem for our whole discussion. We'll get back to it in a second, because if you're going to say the way people express themselves is different, or Chachamim express themselves is different, then all of a sudden you don't have any backing for your understanding. So he says, but and then he has another example. If you look in Sukkah, they cite a Mishnah from Parah, which talks about a mitzvat ezov. So the ezov was a branch that you would use to sprinkle Parah Duma water. It says it had shloshak kalachin, ubahen shloshak givulin. It had three branches. Each one of them had three little pieces to it. So that sounds like, if you think about the pasuk of Al-Shdiha Sirim Goralo, you're going to put lots on each of the two Sirim. So now I said three kalachim with three givulim. It sounds like each kalach, each branch would have to have three givulim. I think actually it's kalach is like a stem or a branch, and then three offshoots of it. And each one of the kalachim would have to have three. But that's not the way we assume that it is. So again, he thinks you have to say Lashon Chachamim L'chud, Lashon Torah L'chud. You say that the language Torah uses, the way the Torah uses language, is not always the same as the Chachamim's language. And this is Yisrael Achidah, so the same thing, that you don't have to assume that people speak in the way the Torah speaks. And according to that, then the whole set of proofs goes away in terms of our discussion, in terms of what Kiddush Yagirshini was saying, in terms of if a man says, I want to give a gift 200 zuz to all the things, that's a Lashon B'nei Adam, that's a language issue for people, and therefore you would give 200 to everybody, to all of the sons together, because if they want more, they'd have to prove the guy meant more. And that becomes a question of like a Moti B'chavir or a Raya. If you want to get money from somebody else, you have to prove that that's what they meant. So fundamentally, the end result is a little banal. It's that we don't know, and therefore, since we don't know what people mean, we do the minimum, and then if you want to prove that it's more, you'd have to prove that it's more. But the reason that I thought it was interesting and worth doing was it reminded us of a whole bunch of examples of situations in Torah principles, at least the Pichadash held, that depending where you place the word, it affects the meaning of the word from the examples that he gave, and I'm not going to review over again now since I did it all the way through. And then others had thought that maybe that applies to human language. Well, certainly Kiddush Gershuni seems to have thought that way. And the Bahrami Rutenberg that we saw seems to have assumed that it applies in the same way as well. But Rav Yosef seems to conclude that we don't say that, and that when it comes to people saying things, then we'll have to investigate human language, and the standards are not necessarily the standards of Torah language. That's a responsible day for the 16th day of the second of Adar Bet. Thank you for joining me. Thank you, and I forgot to do this, and I apologize. We thank you to the OU, to Rabbi Jacob Romans, David Hochhauser, for their help putting this year online. Have a great day.